Good morning. What a hope. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. May I start this morning with a rhetorical question? If you will be asked to choose between security and truth, which one of two will be put on the top list? Life security or truth? In other words, what is more important for us, security or truth? I do not know what is your first thought which crosses your mind when we speak about persecution. Persecution and suffering as a sign of the kingdom of God's expansion. This is the title I want to think. This is the theme I want you to think about today. Of course, I may tell you that when we talk about persecution, we may understand totally different things. For me, who did grow up in a totalitarian regime, being persecuted for my faith in God, suffering cannot be understood without comprehending the ultimate truth of God and security I have in Him. I never thought that I can be secure outside of God's grace, outside of God's protection. For that, for me, when I'm speaking about suffering, I cannot understand it without comprehending it with the comprehending the ultimate truth of God, which provides security for every one of us. Before I will get into the message this morning about suffering as a sign of the kingdom of God's expansion, I would like all of us to answer for ourselves the question I started. What is more important for us, security or truth? Talking about persecution for being a believer, I would like to say that, you know, we are engaged in a fight. Actually, a war, a spiritual one, traveling to so many different countries where Christians are persecuted. When I meet people who are living under constant sorts of threats, passing through hard persecution, there are some moments when my mind brings me back to the first 28 years of my life when I was living under Soviets. Immediately, I am remembered myself of hundreds of cases in my life and my community when people used to be rejected, ignored, blamed, and persecuted. As a child at a school, I remember after each Christmas and after each Easter celebration, we were in the square of the school square, and the principal will ask, who did attend the church last Sunday? Make one step ahead. And then they will try to put us in a shame. Every time since then, I'm asking myself, what was the criteria I did link myself to, security or truth? I saw that my parents, without doubt, will take the side of the truth, putting themselves in a difficult situation, sometimes living almost outside of any security. They lost their goods several times. They were robbed several times. Because of the system, of the hostile system for those who were believing in God. Since I was young, I was told by my father that in some critical times, When I am asked to choose between security and truth, my father used to tell me, choose the truth. I remember once I was in a school, we had a gathering and the parents were together with the pupil and also the teachers. And the teacher of chemistry stood up and started to speak about one person in the class. I was the only believer among 30 other pupils. And she was telling about some of my activities. I was very active. And she said, I have a brother in this group. Once, he is missing a pen. The other time, he is missing the notebook. The third time, he is missing the handbook. And when she finished, I stood up. I said, you are right, but you don't tell one more thing. Why you didn't tell them that I am the best on the chemistry here? You know, I didn't care what the teachers will tell me after that. I was caring because my father was there. And when I came home, my father looked at me and said, you know, they are going against you. They don't like you. But I am backing you because you are flowing and you are swimming against the flow. Today, when I'm living in a free country, when after 30 years of freedom, I almost forgot those times, but I'm still ministering to people who are persecuted for their faith. I always remember a passage my father taught me when I was young. And that passage is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I remember that many times in a high school, the teacher will ask a question. She or he will challenge me, and I will give answer. Then she will add more, and he will add more, and we will spend half a lecture just in the debating. And then they will conclude, oh, sorry for your good head, but you have no future. Because you are tied with the world religion of your parents. But they never gave me any other hope. They never gave me any reason to believe their system. Of course, security is important. None from my family did or thought me to search for persecution. But if there is a case, they told me, when I am standing in front of a situation to choose between security and truth, I was told to choose every time the truth. 30 years after that, when I'm involved in a ministry among persecuted church, I'm teaching my people, my friends, my brothers and sisters, without any hesitation, that all the authentic Christians in all times, together with their master, set a list of values where truth and love were on the top of the list, then security and comfort. If today we would like to understand the situation of the persecuted church, we should answer the same question. What is more important for us, and what is more important for us to teach them when they are facing persecution? To make it clear, we should open the Bible and do a study on persecution. And I can tell you, I observed that in my country, I observed that in many Western countries today, that we don't teach much about persecution. We don't understand the meaning of it. And most of the time, we see more and more Christians taking or leaning to security, not to the truth. Suffering in the Bible is one of the key topics. But to understand it, we need to make a difference between suffering as thieves, as robbers, suffering because we have a brutal society, suffering for injustice, and suffering for the Lord, suffering for righteousness. You know, of course, the Bible never teaches us that if we do wrong things and we will be persecuted, or we will be punished, we should be proud of that. No. We should be proud and we should raise our heads when we are persecuted for righteousness. Because there is a big difference between all other motives of suffering than being persecuted for Christ. We should understand that the context the Apostle Paul writes is a missional context. He was talking about the gospel, how the gospel spread it all over through Roman Empire. Especially the gospel reached the capital of Roman Empire, Rome. Most of the sermons we are hearing from chapter 8, most of the preachers are focusing on the security, but not on persecution. I did listen to many sermons on this passage, and as I mentioned, most of the preachers will talk about our complete confidence in Christ. That's right. But that's not all. The good news is for those who are suffering and are persecuted, there is a big hope in this passage for those who are suffering for taking the good news to the lost people. In this paragraph from 31 to 39, the Apostle Paul teaches us about the role of persecution and in preaching the good news to those who are opposing it. It sounds that the suffering is an instrument in extension of the kingdom of God. But why we miss this point? Why Christians today victimize themselves at each corner? Oh, I have a bad husband. I have a bad wife. I have a bad children. I have a bad society. I'm living in a very bad environment, and so on, so on, so on, so on. We should go back to the New Testament times and ask, when Christians complain because of such many different things as we complain today, with sadness, we must confess that we are living in the era when security interferes strongly with the truth. More than that, we are living in the era when security preoccupies us more than the truth, which leads us to the idea that security is more important than the truth. And this reminds me the passage Jesus shared and taught his disciples from Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Whoever wants to be my disciples, he said, must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. That was Jesus' teaching. Jesus' warning is very radical. But why today we are looking more for security than we persevere the truth? Psychologically, that happens when we do not walk in truth. I'm hearing many people when they come and they want to share and they have some struggles with their faith, but they are not walking in truth. They are not abiding in the Word of God. Every time when we do not abide in the Word of God, living in God's truth, we question our security. This is the reason why we think more about security, because we are avoiding the truth. Let's learn a few things, a few principles from this passage. From the persecuted church. According to this passage, the Apostle Paul teaches several key elements here. First, he teaches that suffering for righteousness is not a lose, it's not a problem, it's a privilege. That is hard to understand, of course, especially in a self-centered culture. One man of God said, we are intensely self-centered people. Also, we see that today our theology focuses more on man than on God. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we shall move from the self-centered theology to Christ-centered theology. And Christ suffered himself. Secondly, persecution or suffering is the sign of the kingdom, of the kingdom presence. Because in the New Testament, all over persecution took place. A lot of people used to come to know Christ. Because our King Jesus suffered, we have a complete confidence in our salvation, in Christ. Our salvation is in Christ. Since we came to know him, we die for ourselves because he died for us when we were sinners. Now we are just replacing the roles. He died for us, we live for him. Because Christ suffered, died, and raised from the dead for us, we have a theological confidence that in him we are righteous. Christ Jesus died for us. He raised to life. He is at the right hand of God. He is interceding for all of us when we are going through hardships. Then the Apostle Paul asked, if God is for us, then whom we should be afraid of? There is no barrier in front of the gospel. Who then is the one who will condemn us, the Apostle Paul asked. No one, he says. Christ died and he resurrected from the dead. And in his death and resurrection, we have power. Because Christ died for us, the death penalty is taken away from us. And we don't fear death anymore. Based on his suffering, we shall not be afraid of the final judgment, because he took our judgment on himself. But we need to live for him. The Apostle Paul points that the persecution and suffering cannot separate us from God and our Savior. I remember several times I was interviewed by KGB people, and I was asked to collaborate with them. I didn't wait. They didn't wait too much to hear my answer. No. Then they changed right away their strategy. Said, if you don't want to change your mind, we will make your life miserable. But that situation was okay. God was being all the time with me. Even I was sent where the temperature were 47 below zero. God protected me. I remember once when the communist leader in Siberia joined all those who were not belonging to the Communist Party. And he asked a question, why you are not a communist? And asked every one of us. Then when he turned to me and said, you know, I'm a believer. So, oh, I need to work seriously with you. And soon you will reject your faith. But after several discussions, he kicked me out from the room. Then later, I was joking with him, asking him, may I join the group? He said, no, 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 go away, go away, go away. Then in one private discussion, he told me, you know, I would like that every man would be like you. In the same line, I remember a lot of Christians from the persecuted church in Central Asia. A mother of one of our students from Uzbekistan was asked to reject Christ publicly. And she said, you know, Jesus is so good to me. He gave me peace. I have salvation. I cannot reject him. She was punished for that, but she didn't step back. I remember another young student. I found her in the capital city in Uzbekistan because she ran from home. She was living in Samarkand city, a big historical city. When her mom learned that she is a believer, beat her severely. Then she ran from home. And I met her in a capital city and took her to school. After several years, one day she was dancing with a letter in her hands. I said, Brother Mihai, I'm going back home this summer. So what happens? Here is the letter my mom sent to me. And the first phrase is, my sister and my daughter. Jesus appeared to her in a dream. And she became a believer. She asked forgiveness because she hurted me. You know, there is a lot of people who went through suffering. Then later they win their loved one and their people, the people around themselves. Thirdly, the third factor the Apostle Paul includes here is that persecution and suffering is a sign for a Christ presence among his people. Christ himself suffered. He said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Remember, he told, what I told you, Jesus said in Matthew. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. And surely, Jesus finishes his gospel of Matthew with the words, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is with his children. Even they are passing, crossing, going through suffering. The Apostle Paul continues asking questions, talking about this security in Christ because we are linked to the truth. Security is important, but truth is first. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble? Hardship? Or persecution? No. As is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. I remember when I was taken to Siberia, stopping in a few cities, being blamish all the time. In one of the airports in Siberia, we just landed and get into the airport, and somebody looked at us. We were teeny and weak, looked like very young, and he looked at us and said, where they are taking you? I said, to Trans-Siberia, and we named the place. Then he looked at us and said, hang yourself. Very bad news. But I was with another friend of mine, we were believers, said, let's pray, let's pray. And I said a short prayer, Lord, help me to come back one day. But come back with the good news for these people, because they are lost. And without pushing a finger, 31 years after that, God brought me back to the same city. And I was teaching master students there. Then I was that was in 2011. Then in 2017, God took me back to another city, Khabarovsk. Now I am afraid that I was saying that prayer in many Siberian cities. But God is faithful. Now, we open a school in Siberia. Would you like to join us? There is more security in Russia right now than was in 1980, 1982, when I was serving there. For that, everyone who would like to join me, you know, we will put a list over there. Sign it, and we'll go together, joining what God is doing. Fourthly, persecution and suffering is also a sign that Satan is a defeated foe, and his kingdom is conquered. Starting with verses 37, Paul says, we are more than conquerors. In Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors, and Satan is a defeated foe. And his kingdom is conquered. Nothing can stand against Christ. The Apostle Paul proclaimed with certainty that suffering for righteousness is not overlooked in the eyes of God. No, in all these things, he say, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be abide to separate, will be able to separate us from the love of Christ that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, suffering led Christ to victory over Satan on the cross. Those who are suffering for righteousness, for the Lord, will reach the glory of God in the same way their master did. In verses 38 and 39, we see that Satan is a defeated foe. I remember here Pastor Ibrahim from Tajikistan. He served for 6 years in Afghanistan. But before going as a missionary in Afghanistan, he was threatened several times. One night he tells me at 12 o'clock the Mujahideen came to his house and said, you know, you betray Islam. Now we will put you to death. Or you will turn back to Islam. Say your last words. And he says, Jesus loves you. I love you too. You know, Jesus can forgive your sins. Come to Jesus. And he said, you lost your mind. You are a crazy person. I came to kill you, and you are preaching to me. Then he didn't do anything that night. He could not touch him. Even he stayed for several minutes with the knife at the throat. Then he came. I said, I give you 1 week. Think about. He came back in 1 week late, 1 week later. And Pastor Ibrahim said, let me go and kiss my wife and my children. Then I will follow you. And they went on the field. And the Mujahideen asked him, dig your own hole. And we will kill you there. And he was digging, working through, preparing his grave. Then the Mujahideen also said to him, say your last words. He said, Jesus loves you. I love you too. He can forgive you. He can give you a new life. And he was not able to kill him again. For 3 times, Then God led him to go and be a missionary among Talibans in Afghanistan. And one day when he was working on building some schools for children from in different villages, the chief of the Taliban village came and steal from them 20 sacks of cement. When he came, said, "Where is the cement?" So, the chief came and took them. Said, "I'm going to talk to him." And he went to his house and said, "Shame on you. We came to help your children and you are stealing from them. Shame on you." That pulled the pistol and said, "I will kill you." Tried several times, but the pistol didn't work. And said, "I would like to kill you right now." But he didn't. Then later, in the same evening, he comes, with 60 sacks of cement. Said, "I could not stay still. I was thinking about your words. You see, Satan is a defeated foe." And there are so many history like Ibrahim's. History of sisters and brothers we have from that difficult world. As the one who went through persecution and meeting with people who are facing hard persecution, I never heard these people asking God to stop persecution. They have one prayer request all the time. Pray that God will give us power. We are enjoying the power in persecution. If everything is okay, we don't need more power. You recognize that, yeah? But when we are facing persecution, then we need faith, then we need more strength and so far. For that, the persecuted brothers and sisters, they don't ask for security. They always ask for more power because that power is building them up and leading them to the glory of their master. Now, coming to the end, I would like to put another question. Then, how we should help those who are suffering for righteousness? How we should enjoy, how we should join them? Also, according to Paul's teaching, Paul encourages all believers to feel as one body, first of all, with those who are going through persecution. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, he says, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me as prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Secondly, join in prayers with those who are persecuted for the righteousness. Do not seek or pray for revenge when our brothers and sisters are going through persecution, but offer them forgiveness and tell persecutors that God loves them. I would like to end with one of the Romanian poets who wrote thousands of poems. Once he was taken back to the prison, and he was asking the inspector, "Where is the Colonel Popov?" And the new persecutor asked him, "From where you know him?" And he said, "He arrested me the first time." And that looked, "He is dead," the other said. Then he named several people, said, "I forgave him." Every time he named several people who arrested him for several times because he was writing poems during the socialist Romania, during the time of socialist Romania. And then he said, "I forgave them. I forgave them." We need to pray for the persecutors. Engage yourself in a spiritual war. Pray for the persecuted brothers and sisters. Encourage them when you meet them. Help their family. Stand behind them. May the Lord bless all of us to be sensitive to those who are persecuted and suffering for our Lord. Amen.